to 15.
We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place for prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Chris. Well, good morning, everybody, and it's lovely to be with you again. I was really excited to be preaching on this series and getting to do another preach. I started on a couple of weeks ago with our first start of the Resurrection Faith series, and it was Peter and John with the crippled man that got healed. And because of that, we were concentrating on God moves, and he gives opportunity for us to then mop it up and explain what's happened. And that's exactly what happened in that story, and over 5,000 people came to know Christ that day. So that was amazing. And then last week, we looked at our story of Stephen, that incredibly brave Christian who was so passionate about God, and we saw that he was known for miracles happening around him, as well as preaching the gospel unashamedly, coming up against hostilities, and in the end never even running away from it. He faced it full on, and it cost him his life. He was willing to give his life for that. He was the first martyr of the Christian faith. And this week, we're looking at the story of Lydia and her conversion to the Christian faith. And I used this preach this morning at the 9 o'clock, and at the end of the service, somebody came up to me and said to me, "Did you know that we've got a window at the back of church which is dedicated to Lydia?" Did anybody else know that? Some of you were going, "No." So when you finish the service, go to the right of Alistair, and there is a window, and there's Lydia with the women and Paul, and then at the bottom it's Lydia opening her home for Paul to come in. So it's quite, I'd never noticed it before. It just shows, isn't it? 18 years coming to this church and I'd never knew that. So that's an interesting fact for you. So before we get into our story today, let's just commit all this time to God. Let's just pray. Father God, would you help us to open our hearts and minds to hear your word this morning and to respond to it as you would want us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So before I get right into the heart of the story of Lydia, I have a question for you. I always have a question for you. And my question is this: do you like interruptions? Do you like somebody to interrupt you, stop you in your tracks, making you have to change your plans at the last minute or halfway through something? Now, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking particularly of a journey maybe that you go on. Maybe you're going on holiday or a business trip or going to visit somebody, and you've planned it out. You know the timing of when you'll arrive, and you set off and the road is lovely and clear. And then suddenly, your heart, say an hour into the journey, you suddenly notice the traffic slowing. And you think, oh dear. And then you start seeing the traffic going off at the next junction. All the traffic's going off at the next junction. And suddenly all your plans have come to a halt and you have to take a different direction. You have to go on an A road, or like me on Friday, you ended up on B roads to go down to Poole. I was with my niece who was going down for her ward ceremony in Poole. She could choose any venue. They had many around and she chose Poole and she wanted to drive there. So me and my brother sat there quietly, not trying to interfere. She said, I have to go by the sat-nav. And we thought, oh dear, we're not getting on the motorway, but we kept quiet. We thought maybe it knows better, and we ended up going round all these B roads and down tracks. We didn't end up in a farmer's field, but it was quite a long journey. And what should have been 2 hours, 7 minutes, according to the motorway one journey, became nearly 3 hours. And we tried our best to be positive about it. We thought, no, we're gonna encourage April. She's, you know, having a go. And so we were going, oh, isn't it lovely this way? And isn't it pretty? And look at the houses, aren't they? Look, I never knew that. And we'd come across all these funny names of villages. But by 2.5 hours into the village, through the journey, there was silence in the car. And there was a sense of, I just want to be in Poole now. And so it wasn't brilliant. But that was, but we did get there and we did learn a lot about the countryside. But not all journeys end up that way. But are we willing to take a different way? Are we open to that? Well, the reason I'm talking about diversions is because the story of Lydia only comes about due to an interruption, a diversion for Paul in his plans for the second missionary trip. Back at the beginning of chapter 16, if you've got your Bibles and you want to open up the Acts chapter 16, from verse 6, we find Paul, Silas, and Timothy are in a bit of a dilemma. They want to enter into some of the villages and towns around Asia Minor. They're at the top, the northern part of that area, and they find they are forbidden to go into these places. They are forbidden to speak in Asia. And one particular place, it says, Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter. And I wonder how that played out, whether it was a roadblock they were being diverted off, or was it that Silas that was with them had a prophetic gift, and so when they prayed over their journeys, maybe he got a word from God that was quite strong, he'd share it, they would think about it and, you know, think, well, is that from God? And then they would come to some decision. And what was clear was that their plan to go into Asia Minor was halted. And then Paul had a vision in the night. In verse 9 it says, he saw a man from Macedonia, miles away, and this man is pleading to him to come across and help them. And if you look in verse 10, it tells us, when he had seen the vision, that's Paul, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God has called us to proclaim the good news to them. So they're willing to divert from their original plan. Paul takes a totally different route to a totally different place to where they thought they might go. But it's that sense of excitement from the Holy Spirit that he's guiding them to the place where they're going to be able to share the good news of Jesus and not waste time with hearts and minds maybe that might have been shut at that time. I wonder if we could be like Paul, Silas, and Timothy and allow God to interrupt our plans and lead us in a different direction if he's speaking to us. I wonder how well we try to listen for God's voice to guide us. Change is never easy. It's, we're told, very good for us, particularly particularly if the Holy Spirit is guiding us, we can be led into unexpected situations and surprises, just like Paul had. For Paul, it brought about the conversion of Lydia and her household, and the beginning of the first Philippian church, which Paul spoke fondly of in his letters to the Philippians. He says, "It's with great joy I remember you." Paul loved this church. Why did he love it? He was thrilled that it was a really healthy, thriving church. And it was doing really well. And it all started with a change of direction. So let's trace that direction that they went in. Verse 11 that we had read to us, we see Paul, Silas and Timothy are making their way from Troas, a northern western city of Asia Minor, what we would call maybe the tip of Turkey, across the Aegean Sea to Samothrace. They have to stop halfway at this volcanic island, so I doubt if they stayed very long. And then on to Neapolis, a main seaport on the southern coast of Macedonia, which serves several cities. Philippi was one of them. Philippi was only 10 miles away, so it wasn't too far to travel to. They might not have known where in Macedonia they were going to end up, but they took the Roman trade routes that were the best to follow. They arrive in Philippi and remain there, it says, for some days. And that's it. Doesn't say any more. It says they remain there for some days. So my thinking is, nothing has happened. They've been there for some days. They're wandering around the city. They're looking for opportunities to share the good news with these people. They would be maybe looking to see if there's a synagogue there, to seek out faith within the city. That might have been a starting point to start sharing the gospel. Looking for opportunities to make connections of what's going on in the city so they can speak into that. But there seems to be nothing. And there's no synagogue. Synagogues, we're told, are only built when there's at least 10 Jewish males who are head of their households living in a place. So what do? It's the Sabbath now. They go out to the river outside the city. And that would be a normal place for Jewish people or people to worship, is at a river or by the sea. That wasn't a thing they had to do. It was just something, maybe a custom they just built up. They just found that those were the areas where it was quiet and they could worship God. And so they go outside to see if they can see if there's anybody out there worshiping. And lo and behold, they find a group of women. I don't know where the men were. Yes, raise my eyebrows. But the women were there. And it says they were worshiping. What do they mean they were worshiping? Well, they would have been singing probably psalms, and they would be reading some scripture, and they would then go into a discussion time. And it's probably during that discussion, it tells us that Lydia was listening to them. That is Paul and Silas and Timothy. And they would use that opportunity then to share with these group of women the message that Jesus is the appointed Messiah that they're waiting for. Lydia is listening to what Paul and the others are saying, it tells us. And the Lord opens her heart to listen eagerly. In verse 14, the Holy Spirit is moving over her. And she becomes a believer in what they're telling her. It then tells us that her whole household are then baptized with her. Lydia opens her heart to Jesus. She allows Jesus to make his home in her heart. And from this, she opens up her whole home and business to the ministry of God and to the work of the apostles. She is no longer a worshiper of God. It doesn't tell us that she's a Jew. Otherwise, it would say she was a Jew. She comes from Thyatira, which is in Turkey, and she's come a long way We don't get any understanding of maybe what she worshipped, but she was a seeker of truth. And she'd obviously heard about these women that were Jews, and she'd aligned herself with them. She is now a believer of Christ. It's not just in her heart that Christ is Lord and Savior, but that every part of her life is handed over, given over to Christ. Her life is totally transformed. She's no longer a foreign woman in charge of running her business, living for this enterprise, which is a successful one at that, dealing in purple cloth, which it was a unique and expensive commodity in those days. Only rich and wealthy people could afford it. Kings and queens would have had it. But that God is ultimately in charge now of her life. She no longer will live according to the social expectations of the society she is living and working in. Her life is turned upside down, and she will stand out because the prominent position of power she holds because of her business. People will be wondering, what has happened to Lydia and her household? She will have a powerful and effective witness to her neighbors and work colleagues. She will be very well respected within the business world, so they'll be interested to know what's going on. From her home, the first church in Macedonia is born. She is the first European Christian. Paul has broken through in his ministry in what we call Europe. A new day has begun, a new Christian church, and it starts with a woman. Woo-hoo, the women. And it is from her home that the church will grow, and it will be an ongoing support to Paul and the apostles as they come and go on their missions. This church will become a healthy, strong community. And it all started with an interruption, a willingness to change course, hearing God's voice and responding to allow a diversion from the scheduled plan. So what does this passage have to say to us in St. Mary's Stoke Bishop today? Are we willing to hear God, to be interrupted in our plans, to lead us in another direction? It may be that we've got a Lydia encounter to take place, to have. Where are we in our relationship with God? Who's boss, really? Are we Sunday by Sunday worshippers of God? Or believers in Christ, willing not only to let Christ make his home in our hearts, but in all of our lives as well? Willing to hear and act on the voice of God. What gets in the way of us fully laying down our lives, I wonder? What stops us allowing God's plans to be fully seen in our lives? What is it that we fear? What is it that stops us from taking that risk, taking that next step, moving forward with God? Lot of questions, isn't it, for us to think about? What is God wanting to say to us this morning? What is it he wants to interrupt in our lives and take us on a different path? What is it we're holding back from him? He might be in our heart, but is he in the fullness of all that we own? Are we surrendering everything to God, putting our best into the church that God, the community that God has put us in? What are we holding back? Well, I'm going to leave you with those questions and those thoughts. And I'm going to just pray over those questions as well as we take them.